Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
Every day, companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything. Data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove.
Attention BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager is settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement and get a $50 bonus every time you refer a friend to BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Ohio only. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Breaking up is hard to do, but when it comes to your wireless carrier, you should have left a while ago. You deserve better. Xfinity Mobile. Break free from the big three.
Get unlimited with 5G included for $30 a month when you get 4 lines on Xfinity Mobile. Prices may vary and are subject to change. Reduced speeds at 20 gigabytes per line.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go. Every day giftable. Every day fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification. And they're satisfying to scratch, no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery Scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now, that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
All right, it's another film study. We're packing a lot into this week because there's a lot of excitement. I know we're all excited. You're all excited. Ken, you ready for Saturday night?
Life's good, Josh. How about you?
I'm good. Can't even get you a little bit more excited for Saturday night other than life's good.
I am unbelievably excited about Saturday night.
There we go.
Maureen and I had our anniversary tonight, second anniversary, and We wanted to look at a little bit of video of Andre Smith, despite the fact it's our anniversary. But that's the a good woman.
Isn't that what everyone does on their anniversary?
Yes.
So, and joining us tonight is Cole Jackson from Russell Street Report. Cole, how you doing?
Good, buddy, and congratulations, Ken. I know if I suggested watching film on my anniversary, I'd probably get yelled at. So kudos to you, my man. You, go. You got a good one.
All right. So let's see. Big story, obviously, in the last 24 hours, actually probably in the last less than that, is the Ravens picking up Andre Smith. And this is Andre Smith. It's the same Andre Smith, you remember from Hard Knocks, which seems like maybe it wasn't that long ago, but it was actually 2009. It was the number 6 overall pick. Came to camp out of shape late as a holdout. Actually was made fun of in the rookie show for his ridiculous workout routine that he was doing with a side guy to stay in shape. And, you know, honestly, it's been a pretty big disappointment in his career with the Bengals. Actually, I believe the entire time with the Bengals, I didn't look at this. He's certainly with the Bengals here. I don't believe he ever left. And he was playing a little bit this year at left tackle, not his traditional right tackle position where he played most of his career. So, Cole, first of all, what are your thoughts on Andre Smith, his career up until 2019? Let's start with that.
Well, yeah, you nailed it. I mean, when he came out, he had a lot of promise, mostly for his run blocking. I think many considered him in the 2009 draft as the best run blocking offensive tackle. So natural fit on the right side. But it took him until 2011 to lock down a starting job, which for, I mean, to compare, Ronnie Stanley was same level of pick. Imagine it took him 3 years to actually be able to start, let alone play at a high level. And I mean, one thing to look at with Smith is kudos to him. 2012, 2013, he did have very good years, like very solid years on the right side. I don't think he sniffed a snow or a Pro Bowl, but he definitely played well, and then injuries started to hit him. He did have two stints outside of Cincinnati, 2016 in Minnesota and 2018 in Arizona. But going back to the Bengals, in between those. So he's done three stints with the Bengals now, and the being on the left side this year has just been an absolute disaster for him. So, I mean, he finally got it together, and then the injury bug bit him, and he kind of went downhill.
Lots of things in 2019 that have not gone right for Andre Smith, but I think it's maybe instructive. We've had a lot of negative commentary about Ben Powers here in Baltimore about what it means for him to be inactive for all these weeks. So we're going to talk about that a little bit some later, but I think Powers actually answered a lot of the questions about his inactivity in terms of his last game with a fine performance. And it really appears more of what the Ravens are trying to do is positional in nature to make sure their 7 linemen that are active for any week would have minimal disruption to the line if they had someone go down. And in Smith's case, the information is a lot more serious, many more counts in this indictment than there are with Powers. So let me just go over this briefly here. Smith started the year as the left tackle for the Bengals in weeks 1 through 5. He also played there briefly in week 10. He was inactive in week 6 and week 7. He did not play in week 8. He had another did not play in there. And in week 6, he lost his job to the great John Jerry. Now, the great Joe Jerry has been mentioned as a guy who has once had 27 carries as a quarterback and the last guy to do that before Lamar. This is John Jerry, the current Cincinnati Bengal. And why wouldn't they play him at left tackle? Because he's a 33-and-a-half-year-old guard.
What a disaster for him. Yeah, I'm just taking a look right now. I mean, it's one of the metrics we can take a look at for Pro Football Focus. They hit him with a 58.7 pass block and a 46 run block for the 2019 season. So when you're
that's
best
Smith, right, Jerry, right?
That's Andre Smith, yeah. And that's over 254 snaps. And like you covered it, it's infrequent mix-ups throughout the weeks.
So anyway, Cordy Glenn came back in week 12, and he's had the left tackle position since. There hasn't been any suggestion that Smith would move to right tackle, and in fact, he was released after a couple of did not plays, a couple of inactives. after week 11 before, sorry, maybe it was after week 12, but it was on 11:30, they released him and he did not return. So he's playing behind some guys who are absolutely terrible. Bobby Hart, we did not mention, has been the right tackle, has been one of the most penalized tackles in football, an absolutely awful player the last couple of years. And Andre Smith is not able to take his spot at right tackle, his old spot with the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, like, it just shows his performance this year since coming back from the Cardinals. He's not even a replacement-level player. No business. If he's playing in a game for us, we're in trouble.
I think that's fair enough. He's been penalized four times this year, two offensive holds and two false starts. Hard to do this, but all four of them resulted in stalled drives. So that series of downs was not completed for a first down in any of those four cases. I remember Jeremy Zuda had a year like that one year where he went 6 for 6 in terms of stalled drives. But the entire Ravens offensive line has stalled something like four drives all year. So the fact that he had four by himself is an indication, obviously, of a bad offense, but also bad individual play. So I think we're at a point where we agree and we don't need to do too much review of his actual play. What I did see from the Seattle game, I saw a very upright player who is ponderously slow with his feet, has tremendous difficulty with any kind of movement to beat him with speed, and is vulnerable both inside and outside. Can you tell me anything at a broad level that you saw?
The big thing for me was mostly the way he'd stand up. He kept losing the guy on his inside hip, so all they had to do was really beeline it from. I saw a lot of ends moving out to more of like a wide nine setup, just to take that angle on him, and he just doesn't have the footwork to kick out to touch him. So you're right. The biggest thing for him was speed, and that's always been his downfall, which was shocking that they'd even try him on the blind side when, especially when Andy Dalton's back there, and then they had can't think of his name. Ryan Finley was it? Yeah. It was that was a truly puzzling thing for me, was why would you even put him on the left side when he was in his heyday, he didn't play on the left side for you. But I think that speaks to the Bengals just not having their stuff together this week or this year. And that's why they have the first overall pick.
There you go. And he certainly helped them get it. So this leaves the Ravens in an interesting situation here. Now, we know who the Ravens starting five linemen are, so I don't think we have to review that. But a lot of people maybe have not been following all year long and know exactly who the Ravens have got as their four offensive line reserves, from which they usually activate two. So James Hurst has obviously played some time at left tackle, so people know him. Ben Powers, people have been excited to see, and he finally got activated for the first time in Week 17, played pretty well. Ronis Grasu has been a backup center. He played one game at guard last year. He's played two snaps this year as a sixth lineman, but otherwise has not seen action. And then I think that's true. I'd have to look back and make sure he didn't have a short stint in relief. And then the fourth is, of course, now Smith, after Parker Ehinger went to IR this week.
Yeah, and I think the big thing there is a lot of the talk about Andre Smith from the Bengals organization, or sorry, not from their organization, from their fans, was when he started having those injury problems and he slowed down, people wanted to see him get kicked inside. But it's shocking to me that he hasn't really had a stint as a guard, despite, you know, being a bigger, more physical guy with slower feet. You'd think that usually lends to a natural transition to the inside if you're struggling. So given this is very, the reason I'm bringing this up is it's very similar to Parker and his history. When he came out of college, he was a bigger tackle, a more physical run blocker, and he got kicked inside by teams because he didn't have the foot speed to be able to pass block on the outside.
Okay. A lot of times when I ever hear about tackle, guard, swingman, I don't want a tackle who has to play guard. That's like having a starting pitcher who has to really, who would be better in long relief. And you have to move him there. And it doesn't mean he'd be a good short reliever. It doesn't mean you ever want him in high leverage situations. It just means you don't want him as one of your four or five rotation starters, whatever you're planning to do. Smith, if the way I see him play, his slowness of foot is too slow for a guard. I even climbing to level two would be ponderous in nature, and the notion of him pulling is almost comical at this point in his life.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I'm more reflecting on when he was with the Bengals in the 2016 plus years where they didn't move him inside. But I don't know. I think on pulls, you definitely wouldn't want him. But in pass pro, where he doesn't have to get as lateral, he could probably hang okay with the foot speed. But no, in the Ravens scheme, when, you know, if we're running some zone and he's got a combo block into level two, he's going to struggle. But you can make the same argument if they're running any outside zone, he's going to struggle to get out in space from the tackle position too. So I guess it really just speaks as an indictment of him as a player that, I mean, you don't really want anyone with that type of foot speed at any spot on your line. Not right. In today's game, where we're, especially with the pace we have, you know, running some of the option plays, and, you know, guys got to get out and use the hesitation from the defenders to make plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very much. You got that little bit of hesitation in the mesh point, but part of that is by design to try and let those double teams play out and allow those combination blocks to get set before you release Ingram into the middle, or you release Jackson to the edge. So I look at this. I understand they want to move for tackle depth. I don't really think this does it. I would have gone younger and even more unproven and taken a chance in that direction rather than pick up a player like Andre Smith. It just doesn't. It really doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, I think it speaks a little bit. I joined your pod right around the end of the off season before the season started, and we were talking about this was one of the risks of letting Sanat go, is if we had injuries on the line, we had a guy that was a young, developing guy. I know we tried to stash him on practice squad, but I knew as soon as he went on, he wasn't going to last. But that's kind of we've kind of put ourselves in this position. I mean, we're still two injuries away from having to put Andre Smith in an actual game. You know, we'd have to lose both Stanley or Brown and then Hurst as the backup, or both starters before he'd actually be in. But, you know, it is very much an insurance move in case there was an injury this week. But I do think the risking putting Sanat on practice squad put us in this position, and from a depth perspective.
I'm in the same spot on Sanat. I was a lot higher on him. I thought, you know, part of what I liked about Sanat just that was that he was a small school prospect, and I know how well scouted those are by DaCosta's regime. And not only did they use a 7 on the pick, they used a 6. So they really thought they had something here to go to a Wagner left tackle and go get him. And he, you know, physically, he looks the part. He's got really nice feet. He moves around well. He's tall. He's long. He's got everything you'd want physically in the position. Didn't look great, certainly at times in the preseason. And he did look okay at other times. But you know, it's often the case with rookie offensive linemen. I just think you're much more likely to get a positive surprise from a Greg Sanat than from an Andre Smith.
No, definitely. That's it. I mean, you're looking at Sanat and you see a project, but he's young and he has that room to grow. When we're looking at Andre Smith, I mean, he's a broken down piece, right? That, you know, maybe you're going to get a couple of games of super average play, but, you know, there's no ceiling there. But with Sanat, there's at least a ceiling to consider, and if you're putting him in a game, you're thinking of that, like, here's a chance for him to develop.
Okay, so let's look forward at where the Ravens are right now, and I thought one exercise to go through would be, who do the Ravens replace if they get an injury at each of the five positions? So I think most of these are pretty easy, and they really lend us to only two obvious backup players active during the playoffs. So at left tackle, if Stanley were to go down, I think they do what they already did this year, which is put Hurst in. We in agreement?
Yeah.
All right. At left guard, if Bozeman goes down, who's the replacement?
So just to confirm, are we talking about in-game, or if there was an injury this week and they were planning for the next week so that they could...
Tell me how you'd structure it exactly, if you have two different answers.
So, I mean, I fully expect Hurst and Grasu to be active this week. So if he went down, I would think Hurst would get the first kick at left guard. But that brings up the interesting debate. Do you risk putting Hurst in at left guard. And then if one of your tackles goes down, you have to insert Grasso for Hurst and then hit kicked Hurst outside. So that's kind of where you get into the interesting debate. But I think I'd be thinking Hurst because of the experience he's had at left guard in the past. But I'm curious what you think of how you do that.
Okay, well, I think there's reasons not to play Hurst at guard that go beyond that. I mean, obviously, Hurst's last performance at guard was very poor, and he was hurt, we think, at the end of the 2018 season. Obviously, the playoff game is the worst game I've ever scored by a lineman. So that's a serious indictment of his ability to go back there and play decently. But I think that there's also a reason not to risk injury to Hurst if he's your only reasonable backup tackle option. So you'd prefer not to have him play at all unless it's at tackle. So I think, and this is the direction I thought you were going, I think it would be Grasso to play out the game, and I think Powers would be active the next week as the starting left guard.
That's why I raised that at the start, is that would be exactly what I'd do. So you'd have a replacement for that game, but then going into the next week would be Ben Powers as the... And I think that brings up the whole active debate versus why do you activate a player, and mm-hmm. even though they're higher on the depth chart technically, and it speaks to the positional flexibility.
Right. So that's your point about Grasso, is that because Grasso can be a backup at two positions, it means that they only have to make one change in order to slide him into the offensive line at either center or guard.
Exactly. And Powers is limited to just playing one of the guard positions.
All right. So at center, I think it's pretty clear now going across the line here. If McCary went down, that it would probably be Grasso and not an attempt to move Bozeman, because that's all of their activations the whole season. It basically said, we're keeping Bozeman at guard. We don't want to move him.
Yeah, and I think that was something I discussed, because there was a lot of people down on Powers when he wasn't getting activated. But people need to – or sorry, when McCary was getting activated over Powers when Matt Skura was healthy – but you got to remember that a lot of people said, no, Powers should be in. They would slide Bozeman over. But from a coaching perspective, you need to consider that if you slide Bozeman over to center and insert a new guy at left guard, you now technically have two new players in the game, even though Bozeman was already in there, moving him to a different position. That's a hard thing to prep for. You're prepping for two positions, you know, in a very short week. Everything Bozeman's prepared for is at guard, and now, you know, he's at center, where he has a lot of responsibility. Like, Yonda can help with line calls and stuff, but I think people don't really understand how much that is to ask of a starter to be sliding out. And it's the same thing with Marshall Yonda. He has played tackle in the past, and he's so good he could play anywhere on the line, but, you know, he's going to be at his best at right guard, so it's best to try and leave him where he is.
Right. I'm in agreement. I think there is probably a possibility that if the Lombardi is hoisted this year, Yonda rides off into the sunset and Powers would be the right guard beginning the 2020 season. Now, I'm hoping that doesn't occur. I'm hoping Marshall Yonda still gives the Ravens a couple of years, but it's definitely a possibility. You can't deny it.
Yeah, and I think we've seen from Powers that he's probably a better fit at right guard. He makes up for his lack of speed into the second level with the angles he takes. I think he's a really smart and savvy player. But, you know, with the amount of pulls that we've seen Bozeman make going to the right side, it's probably best that Powers is the right guard and we have Bozeman, who's shown he can make those pulls at left guard.
It's funny. I mean, one of the most ponderous players coming out of the draft a couple of years ago, Bozeman now is a fairly mobile left guard in the NFL, and we're kind of excited about it, or reasonably mobile anyway.
I mean, think about the development, though. Like and I don't mean just development from year to year, but from week to week.
Yes.
He got danced around a few times in the early – there was a stunt in one of the first – few weeks, I think it was the Chiefs, and he just completely missed the stunt, and he had no foot speed to kick back and get there, and he just got blown by, and the guy got a sack on Lamar. But I mean, last few weeks he looks phenomenal. I've never seen such development in season from a guy playing kind of a move position that didn't play to his strength. You know, moving to guard where he has to, you know, get out in space a little bit more shouldn't be working for him, but it is. I think it's a testament to him, his work ethic, and also to Coach DeLandres.
So seven games he's had in a row of a B or better by as I've graded him, and they've been extremely consistent games where on the pre-adjustment basis, the worst he had was a C plus at the very top point of the C range. He had all three, I had him for 3 2/3 sacks. All of them occurred in the first 6 weeks of the season. He hasn't given up any sacks since then. He's given up some pressures and he's given up some quarterback hits, but that's normal. You are supposed to give up some when you're an offensive lineman. It made a very high percentage of his pulls, including 12 out of 15 in the last game. I've just been tremendously impressed with the way he's grown. And he's the kind of player we'd love to have on the show sometime. We had Matt Skura on. We had Bozeman. We'd love to have Bozeman on in the same vein. I think he'd be a great guest to talk about how the coaching has gone and what's turned the light on for him. And actually, I thought Bozeman played better last year than he did the first few weeks of this year.
Yeah, and that was at guard as well, too, right?
Yeah, all guard.
Yeah, so I think it's been very interesting to watch him go. And Matt Skura, before he took over as the starting center, played left guard or right? I think played right guard in relief of Yonda when he got hurt in, what was it, 2017. But and again, I believe Skura came away with pretty good reviews from you as well, if that's correct, when he played guard.
Skura did okay at guard. He's done better now at center, particularly this year. Skura's made a step forward each of his seasons, which is what I really liked about him. And you know, he's a third year player who we've actually come to think about, should we extend him? Is he a player that has the visible benefit on the table, and would it make sense to extend him? Now the injury, I think, is gonna put the kibosh on that, and maybe also McCary's play, but it would be. He would not have been a bad choice to extend before this problem occurred. And hopefully that'll be a pretty clear lesson to players who are after year three heading into year four. And I'm looking at you, Chuck Clark, to think about, is there some divisible benefit you should be giving up in terms of expected total contract value a year from now versus contract value this year to get that security and that hedge against the risk of injury and whatnot?
Yeah, just to go to back to Skura, they have a big benefit with him. He's a restricted free agent, and they can give him a second-round tender. So either they're getting – I think his contract as an RFA would come out around $2 million, which is dirt cheap for a starting center.
Yeah, it'd be $3 million and change.
$3 million and change.
Yep.
And if someone gave up a second for him, well, you're getting a second-round pick for Skura, and you have Makari as kind of the guy that's played well, and I think we could probably trust going into next year. I don't think he's played as well as Skura was at the beginning of the year, but and again, talking about a guy that's moved positions, we're talking about a tackle from when he was at Cal, and he's completely switched positions just last offseason to center, and the growth has been tremendous. I when we signed him, I went back and watched quite a bit of his Cal film, and as a tackle prospect that could be a swing tackle, I was pretty impressed. So when he started taking snaps at center, it was I thought it was a bit of an interesting move, but it's really paid off for them.
Yeah. Did he face any guys in the film you watched that were 6'4", 6'5", and up and clearly would have had an arm length advantage on him?
The kid out of Oregon, I think he went like the sixth round, Jalen Jelks, I believe. Long limbed speed guy, but I mean, speaking of savvy angles, he did this really interesting move where he'd really kind of he understood his limitations, and he'd really work to ride the inside hip and try and just push them out the back of the pocket. And so for these guys that were kind of speed trying to bend the edge, he would just run them right out of the pocket rather than trying to reach on them and giving them that leverage advantage. So he would kind of do what a shorter limb boxer would do and try
exactly
and get inside on them. Yeah, it's the exact same concept.
Frazier versus Ali, and you know, when it works, he can get inside, he can be great, but
exactly.
Funny, that analogy is just perfect. So on the right side, I think we're gonna just finish this up. I think the answer would be the same, that on the finish the game basis, it would be Grassu for Yanda at right guard, and on the continue the next week, it would be Powers for Yanda. And then at right tackle, same idea. If anything were to happen to Orlando Brown, it would be a Hurst going forward for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, with all, I guess it going into the next week, Andre Smith being probably active as the tackle backup.
Very scary. Very scary. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, here's a good takeaway. You're still two injuries away from him being in the game. So I mean, let's look at the bright side, right?
So, okay. Well, fair enough. Cole, where can people find your work?
So you can find me at Russell Street Report and on Twitter at Cole Jackson RSR. Always happy to interact with fans. I write the coordinator series over there, where we break down the offensive scheme for the Ravens, try and do quite a bit of film in the articles, show the play calling, that sort of thing. So I do that with Michael Crawford, AC Slade, and our good friend Josh, who does all of our analytical work.
All right. Is Dev Pantra involved in that, or was he involved originally at one time, or?
I've been trying to get him, but like he's just been really busy with his personal life. We've been talking about doing basically the same thing we do, but charting the plays run against our defense to get an understanding of you know, what runs we're stopping well. Which I don't know if you saw the tweet that came out about Derrick Henry, where or about the Ravens, sorry, running against outside zone. They've actually been quite good against outside zone on an average, so kind of having that information readily available so that when we're looking at a matchup or a team that does something really well, we can kind of say how well they've done it in the past. So I'm trying to get Dev to work on that. So
all right, he's a good guy, all those are, and wonderful. So give Cole a follow on Twitter. He's a definitely a good, interesting follow, and you'll get into some good conversations, I'm sure, if you do. Cole, anything else before we let you go?
No, that's great. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I love joining you. And as always, I'm sure we could talk about the offensive line all night.
All right. Take it easy, man.
Thanks a lot, fellas.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Josh, do we have any mailbag questions?
I mean, you guys, the mailbag questions were offensive line and what you would determine on how many to activate. It was a lot of questions you guys already got into.
Okay.
So I think it's all right. But, we do have one more podcast coming out this week. Do you want to give a quick plug to that before we get out of here, Ken?
Absolutely. We did a podcast today with a fan who's very knowledgeable. It's one of the short series, and it's exactly what we're looking for. So if people will listen to this, young man, great fan, former high school coach. He'd done a little bit of work writing for the Ravens at one point right out of school. And he had an interesting idea about how the 2019 Ravens are like the 2013 Seahawks. And I'll let you listen to the thing before you dismiss the idea completely. But anyway, I very well spoken, excellent points he makes, and a very worthwhile pod.
All right. And that'll be out by Friday morning. So, all right, guys. Well, enjoy continuing countdown into Saturday night.
Birdland Sports. For fans, by fans. Find more great shows like this at birdlandsports.com.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go, every day giftable, every day fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification, and they're satisfying to scratch no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery Scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now, that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
Introducing the Lowe's List for Innovation. While our aisles are filled with innovative products, we've selected our favorites just for you. Like the exclusive Whirlpool washer with industry-first 2-in-1 removable agitator. We love this washer because you can customize any load. And with other smart features to streamline your laundry routine, this product is a must-have for families. Shop the full Lowe's List of top picks at Lowe's.com. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. U.S. only.